All right, today's reading comes from Luke 18, verses 9 through 14. Jesus told this parable to certain people who had convinced themselves that they were righteous and who looked on everyone else with disgust. Two people went up to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed about himself with these words, "God, I thank you that I'm not like everyone else, crooks, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, I give a tenth of everything I receive." But the tax collector stood at a distance. He wouldn't even lift his eyes to look toward heaven. Rather, he struck his chest and said, "God, show me mercy, a sinner. I tell you, this person went down to his home justified rather than the Pharisee. All who lift themselves up will be brought low, and those who make themselves low will be lifted high." Bless the reading of the word.
Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. God of wisdom and grace, you speak through your word, read and proclaimed. Prepare us now to listen well. Open our ears to your truth. Humble us in your presence so nothing will stand in the way of what you say to us today. Amen. I don't know if you know this. I'm kind of a big deal. I'm witty. I'm smart. People enjoy being around me. I'm kind. I'm a really good Christian. Some might say I'm even the best Christian. I'm not like those people who are at home still lounging around in their PJs. I'm at church. I read the Bible. I donate to charity. I pray. I mean, come on, look at me. I am practically a pastor. There's going to be an ordination service next week that is going to be amazing because I wrote it. But I have to say, of all the wonderful things about myself, all the wonderful things about me, humility is obviously my best quality. Thank you for laughing at that. And I really hope that no one here agrees that I think quite that highly of myself. Don't get me wrong, I do think I have a lot of good qualities. And there's nothing wrong with knowing your strengths. But there is a distinct difference between being confident and judgmental. Have you ever been around someone or a group of someones who were just trying way too hard? They're trying real hard to get your attention and to impress you. It gets a little exhausting, a little off-putting even. I get the sense that there were probably a lot of people around Jesus like that, trying to show him that they love God more than those other people do, so that Jesus will bring them in to his inner circle. So Jesus does as Jesus does and tells a parable. And it seems straightforward enough. Like, we have in our heads right away like a picture of exactly who Jesus is talking to. And I assure you, it's not us. We don't look down on others with disgust. We're not judgmental. So we're really looking forward to this story and waiting for that time of comeuppance. introduced to the Pharisee first. And I have to say, we really should be pretty careful how we tread so that we don't verge into anti-Semitic territory. Yes, Pharisees were the Jewish leaders, the Jewish religious leaders of the day. But they weren't inherently bad or evil. People knew them as exemplars of piety, people who lived their faith 24/7. They were the first to promote the priesthood of all believers, that anyone could live faithfully, and that the temple altar wasn't the only place that one could worship God. Families could be devoutly religious in their homes together. Jesus is referencing one particular Pharisee in this parable, not all Pharisees. This particular Pharisee is proudly praying about himself and his religious acts. He prays about how other people not only don't rise to the occasion, but they blatantly go against God's commands. They steal. They're adulterous. They hurt people. Further, this Pharisee praises himself and his devotion. I fast twice a week, even though it's only required once a month. I tithe regularly. I go above and beyond what is required. Look how great I am. This person is praying about who he is, what he's done and not done. I'd say it was an attempt to put himself in good standing with God, but he already seems pretty assured of that position. I kind of wonder why he even felt the need to go to the temple and pray at all. The tax collector, on the other hand, well, we know tax collectors, pretty bad reputations. Our present day IRS is nothing, absolutely nothing compared to the tax collectors of Jesus' day. You see, at that time, the tax collector was personally responsible for the amount of money his district owed to the Roman Empire. They could collect that money any way that they wanted, including adding extra fees. Anything above what was owed to the empire was personal profit, so there was an incentive to squeeze and gouge their neighbors who were already struggling. The tax collector's prayer, vastly different from the Pharisees. He's bent over in a corner. He's so burdened that he can't even look up. He's broken from guilt and he just beats his own chest, thinking that he deserves punishment. But he's still desperately seeking mercy from God's judgment. We're not actually told what the tax collector is guilty of. We tend to assume he was racked with the guilt of extorting his neighbors, and he probably should have been. But maybe he was struggling with infidelity, or covetousness, or addiction, or a million other things. We rarely know what demons someone is battling. Even though these two people have very different prayers, these two men aren't really all that different from each other. Both the Pharisee and the tax collector go to the temple. They're both Jewish. They both pray. They're both pious. And they're both sinners. And both really want to be righteous in God's eyes. One lists all of the rules that he's followed so that he can remain in good standing before God. The Pharisee is trying to justify himself. The other recognizes that no matter how hard he tries, he can't not sin. The tax collector sincerely confesses to God and acknowledges the need for God's mercy in order to be justified. And at the end of the parable, Jesus tells us that it was the tax collector rather than the Pharisee that went home justified. Justification is kind of a big and fancy term for saying how to be made right. Justification is about how our relationship with God is turned right by way of God's grace and mercy. We can't become righteous on our own. It doesn't matter how many good deeds we do, how many times we take communion, how many Sundays we come to church, how many things we give up for Lent. We don't deserve justification. We certainly can't earn it. Yet, God does freely justify us through grace and love. Most parables tell us how to go and do likewise. But if we do that with this parable, it very quickly becomes a trap. I don't know how many of you have ever tried meditating, but the point of meditating is to think of nothing. It's really, really hard, for me at any rate, it's really hard to think of nothing. And then you get there, and then you realize that you're not thinking of anything, but you're thinking of something. And that moment is over. Humility is kind of similar. The moment the words, "I am humble," escape my lips, or even enter my mind, humility isn't a word that can be used to describe me. When we arrive at a suitable state of humility, there's a little bit of pride there. And shouldn't we get some sort of prize for being so humble? At that point, by definition, we are no longer humble. By the same token, as soon as we are critical of the Pharisee for being judgy, that means that we're being judgy. As soon as we distinguish ourselves from one or lift up the other, we're exposed. Our disapproving nature rears its ugly head. Our need to control who does or doesn't deserve mercy or justification peeks through. So no, this parable isn't actually telling you to be as humble as I am. We're telling you to look down on those who are being judgmental. Jesus isn't saying you should do the things this person does and not like be like the other person. The parable is actually telling us something about God and who God is. The parable is telling us about God's love and grace. That our relationship with God can only be justified, can only be made right by our wildly merciful God. It is by realizing the mercy and grace of God that we can begin to understand how we ought to pray. It's when we recognize the boundless grace that God provides us that we desire to live into that mercy and love. When we seek out a right relationship with God, It influences the way we interact with God and with God's people. You can start focusing on communicating with God, and you won't need to worry as much about the ways that other people are living. And you won't need to beat yourself up for not being as perfect as I am. Thanks be to God. Amen.